A Perth high school set on fire. The fight for Mark McGowan's old seat and coronavirus complacency grows. It's Friday, the 9th of June.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty. How you doing?
G'day, mate. Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing very well. Thank goodness, happy it's Friday. To have gotten to the end of the week. Oh. Been working hard this week. And now, this was an amazing story that took everyone by surprise. A school in Perth South gutted by fire.
Yeah, Comet Bay College in Secret Harbour. There's been a fire there. A 15-year-old boy has been arrested and is being questioned by police at the moment. Arson squad detectives will investigate the cause of the blaze this morning. So the fire started about 7:30 last night. Firefighters managed to extinguish that blaze. There is a fire scene under police guard at the moment, and anybody with information is urged to contact Crime Stoppers. So if you saw anything suspicious around Comet Bay College, get in touch with Crime Stoppers.
It took seven crews of firefighters to get the blaze under control. It was a doozy. And now, have you got an update for us on that 28-year-old police officer who was fighting for his life yesterday after being run over by a car after stopping a vehicle that was allegedly stolen?
Yeah, that constable from Belmont Police Station is still in a critical condition in Royal Perth Hospital this morning. He'd only been on the front line for a few years. He was dragged under that car as a driver tried to flee. His life is now in the hands of doctors and nurses at Royal Perth Hospital, where he's in a critical condition. Three people in their 20s have been arrested. No charges laid at this point.
Yeah, we'll follow that one very closely. And now, former Premier Mark McGowan, he's got nothing better to do than kick back on the couch, put his Ugg boots on, binge watch TV, eat a kebab. He can go for a run if he wants now. Yeah. But now we know when the by-election's going to happen for his old seat.
July 29. Mark it in your calendar. That's when the by-election will be held in the seat of Rockingham. We saw yesterday Roger Cook and his cabinet sworn in. He described his new role as WA's Premier as the honour of a lifetime. He was joined by his Deputy Rita Saffiotti and other cabinet members to declare an affirmation. He replaces, obviously, outgoing Premier Mark McGowan, who was in the top job for 6 years.
Yeah. I got some more news about Roger Cook as well in the very popular House That column in the West Australian today.
Yes, I love that
column. It revealed some details about he's got an investment property, a two-bedroom apartment at Leighton Beach that he and his wife Carly are renting out. Do you know what it's going for?
I did see this, so I won't spoil it.
$775 a week.
I know.
Gosh, it's not bad.
I know, it's not bad if you can get one of those investment properties, isn't it?
Yeah, not as good as a free dinner, courtesy of the RBA, and we have some information now on how much that ritzy dinner at Fraser's cost last month.
It cost taxpayers almost $25,000. Taxpayers.
Yeah.
And it was an invitation-only dinner at Fraser's. Documents obtained by the West Australian under Freedom of Information show the total cost included a $4,300 drinks tab for 140 guests. Those invited to dine included Mark McGowan, business and banking leaders, and community groups. And this all happened hours after the RBA hiked interest rates again.
Not the optics of this are not good at all. And do you know another little fun fact about that receipt that was obtained through those FOI laws? So there was an extra $10 per person upgrade to pay for a fourth canapé.
Would you pay for it?
No, I think, well, it depends what the canapés are. Like if you've opted for some of those cold ones that come on a spoon, I probably would go for a fourth one. But if, you know, if the three canapés are like party pies and sausage rolls and mini spring rolls, I don't think you need a fourth one. I think it's obscene.
That's it.
Now, are you getting complacent about COVID?
Oh, probably, but I had my fifth jab, so.
Oh, did you? When did you get that?
Just at the doctor's. Last week.
Oh, yeah? Did you have any?
No reaction.
No reaction? Yeah, no. That's good. Interestingly, a study commissioned by pharmaceutical giant Pfizer has found that COVID complacency is on the rise. Two-thirds of Australians are less concerned by the impact of the virus, and one in three are less likely to test when symptoms emerge compared to a year ago. Probably not a huge surprise, but this is interesting. One in four of those at higher risk of severe illness from COVID admitted they were less likely to see a doctor now if they experienced experience symptoms, and almost 75% of Aussies believe that a year from now, COVID would be viewed in a similar way to seasonal influenza. I don't know about a year from now. I reckon currently it already is.
It
already is. But it comes as COVID cases are on the rise. There's no doubt about it. So as of the week ending May 30, nationally, there were 38,618 COVID cases. That's an average of 5,517 new infections per day, more than double the average daily rate in March.
Wow. Remember that time when we had one COVID case?
I know. And it was, what, case?
Lockdown.
Case 908 or whatever the hotel worker.
I know, and then we traced where they'd been and, have you been sitting nearby?
How different it is these days. Yeah, it's an interesting one because my partner went to the doctor and the doctor said, she'd just had COVID and was crook-ass.
Yep.
So it's obviously still out there, very different from one person to the next in terms of its impact. But I guess, everybody deals with it in their own way. And now this story is absolutely shocking. This case of four kids and two adults who were injured in a knife attack overnight in the Alpine town of Annecy in France. You see this one?
Yeah, so, it's an awful story.
Absolutely awful. So one child was aged 22 months old in a pram. Two were aged 2 years old and one was aged three. They're all now in a stable condition. Thank goodness. But video footage of the attack has emerged on social media. It's too graphic to be shown on television. It shows this man has walked into a playground where kids are running around with their parents and their minders. In comes this bloke with a knife. There are screams as he starts looking around for children to attack. And one of them is in a pram, like I said. It's just
lock him up.
I just can't even get my head around how this even happens. The police overpowered the knife man. He was shot in the legs, apparently. That's how they apprehended him. And they've confirmed that the suspect is a 31-year-old Syrian who recently came to France. He was a refugee in Sweden, left his wife and 3-year-old daughter in Sweden, and then moved to France. He identifies himself as a Syrian Christian, and apparently during the incident, the attacker invoked the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. His ex says he's no history of violence, but who knows? There's obviously, because he's been taken alive, there'll be some questions asked, and hopefully we get some information about the motive in that terrible, terrible case. But like you say, lock away the key in this instance. And now, this one's fascinating. Cuba has agreed, apparently, to allow China to build a spy facility on the island.
Americans are going to be happy with that.
Well, it'll allow China to eavesdrop on electronic communications across the southeast of the US. They won't need to use those balloons anymore. So I'm sure they'll be happy about that, save some money. And so the US learned about the plan in the last few weeks, apparently, but it's unclear whether China has already started building the surveillance facility. Interestingly, Cuba's deputy foreign minister, Carlos Fernandez de Cossio, has denied the reports.
Well, it's a bit hard if you're building it to deny it.
Yeah, he said. He said at a press conference in Havana on Thursday, no, totally untrue. It's slanderous to suggest it. And the CIA is also not commenting.
How much do you reckon they're being paid?
Oh, a fortune. Mm. An absolute mozza, I would suspect. But we'll see. Sport. The Dockers are hoping to keep the flag mantle train in action. They're on a four-game winning streak. They had the bye last week. They take on Richmond at Optus Stadium on Saturday night. The Tigers aren't doing so well. 13th on the ladder. They've only had four wins. The Dockers are favoured by a couple of goals. A couple of changes for the side. Ruckman Sean Darcy is out and midfielder Jaeger O'Meara is also out. Luke Jackson take on the lead ruck role. That's hard to say. And Michael Walters is a strong chance to return from a calf injury. We'll wait and see. Richmond, of course, have got a caretaker coach in Andrew McWalter after Damien Hardwick.
I reckon the Dockers will win.
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon they will, but don't rule out the Tigers. They beat GWS by 6 points last Sunday and came within 10 points of knocking off the second place Port Adelaide the week before. So they've got a bit of fight, the Tigers. The Dockers will have to be on their game. As for the Eagles,
They're not going to win.
They travel to Adelaide Oval on Saturday.
Imagine that, getting on a plane knowing you're going
to
lose.
Oh, and not just that. They likely to lose, they're 54-point underdogs, and they are on track to get a very unwanted distinction of being the equal worst team in AFL-VFL history, with 11 straight losses by more than 40 points if they get flogged by the Crows.
Do they get a really big wooden spoon? Like, not just your regular wooden spoon,
one. I think they might need to threaten hitting the players with a wooden spoon to make them play better. But the good news is Luke Shuey is likely to start his stuttering season for the third time, coming back from another soft tissue injury. And Jack Darling is going to be back after, amazingly, just 30 days after breaking his forearm.
30 days?
Yeah.
So, like 4 weeks and then off you go.
And he's back. So, we'll see. It probably won't help.
The Wild West.
I love a story of survival in the wilderness.
Oh.
You know, someone who is out in the bush
and just survived.
Against all odds, they survived.
I always remember, like, the one out in the outback in WA that Rick Arden did.
Yeah.
The ant man who, like, ate the ants to survive. Yeah. I loved that story.
But Rick found him, personally. And so in this instance, it's even better. It's a 10-year-old girl. A 10-year-old girl has survived in the in the wilds of Washington State in America. So about 150 kilometers from Seattle. So it's like kind of like Twilight Country, you know, in the movie Twilight, all those tall trees and fog and mist and all that stuff.
I love that you use like the Hollywood to describe the location.
But I can
picture it now. Yeah, it's scary. It looks scary.
And so she is an Afghan immigrant who, with her family, had a habit of trekking through the mountains because it reminds them of Afghanistan. And so they were having a bit of a picnic. She got separated from her family when they crossed a bridge. She was stuck overnight in the freezing cold conditions, which is, you know, amazing, and has wandered off, has managed to find somewhere to sleep, hasn't been eaten by coyotes or mountain lions or whatever they have around there. And she knew that the right thing to do was follow the river, and eventually she would find help. That's exactly what happened. The rescuers found little Shungula the next afternoon. They put her in an inflatable rescue boat, brought her back to her dad. Very, very happy.
And she was fine.
Yep, she was fine.
Wow, good on
her. And the rescuers and the authorities said she's very resourceful. I imagine compared to most 10-year-olds, probably, you know, I don't know if they would be so resourceful.
No, I don't think so. I think just like even getting 10-year-olds to sometimes clean up their room is hard enough.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's challenging to get a 10-year-old to find their way into the bathroom to brush their teeth at the end of the night, let alone survive the forest overnight. So there you go. Good on you, Shungula. What a legend.
Nice one to end the week.
And that's your news from the West Australian for Friday, June 9. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you on Monday.
Will do. Have a great one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea. Australia.
Go, go, go.
Get ready.
I need a machete.
For Million Dollar Island. Monday at the special time, 7 o'clock on 7 and 7 Plus.
100 players, $1 million.
It's us against them.
Nobody's going to take this away from me.
Here, rules of society don't exist. Million Dollar Island. Monday at the special time, 7 o'clock on 7 and 7 Plus.